The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, by Charles Darwin, Master of Arts, Fellow of the Royal Society, author of The Descent of Man, etc., etc., 6th London edition, with all additions and corrections. Quote, "But with regard to the material world, we can at least go so far as this. We can perceive that events are brought about not by insulated interpositions of divine power exerted in each particular case, but by the establishment of general laws." End quote. Whewell, Bridgewater Treatise. Quote, "The only distinct meaning of the word natural is stated, fixed, or settled, since what is natural as much requires and presupposes an intelligent agent to render it so, i.e., to effect it continually or at stated times, as what is supernatural or miraculous does to effect it for once." End quote. Butler, Analogy of Revealed Religion. Quote, "To conclude, therefore, let no man out of a weak conceit of sobriety, or an ill-applied moderation, think, or maintain, that a man can search too far, or be too well studied, in the book of God's word, or in the book of God's works, divinity, or philosophy. But rather let men endeavor an endless progress, or proficience in both." End quote. Bacon, Advancement of Learning. An Historical Sketch of the Progress of Opinion on the Origin of Species, previously to the publication of the first edition of this work. I will here give a brief sketch of the progress of opinion on the origin of species. Until recently, the great majority of naturalists believed that species were immutable productions and had been separately created. This view has been ably maintained by many authors. Some few naturalists, on the other hand, have believed that species undergo modification, and that the existing forms of life are the descendants, by true generation, of pre-existing forms. Passing over allusions to the subject in the classical writers, after remarking that rain does not fall in order to make the corn grow, any more than it falls to spoil the farmer's corn when threshed out of doors, applies the same argument to organization, and adds, quote, "So, what hinders the different parts of the body from having this merely accidental relation in nature? As the teeth, for example, grow by necessity, the front ones sharp, adapted for dividing, and the grinders flat and serviceable for masticating the food. Since they were not made for the sake of this, but it was the result of accident, and in like manner, as to other parts in which there appears to exist an adaptation to an end. Wheresoever, therefore, all things together, that is, all the parts of one whole, happened like as if they were made for the sake of something, these were preserved, having been appropriately constituted by an internal spontaneity. And whatsoever things were not thus constituted, perish, and still perish." End quote. We see here the principle of natural selection shadowed forth, but how little Aristotle fully comprehended the principle is shown by his remarks on the formation of the teeth. The first author who in modern times has treated it in a scientific spirit was Buffon. But as his opinions fluctuated greatly at different periods, and as he does not enter on the causes or means of the transformation of species, I need not here enter on details. Lamarck was the first man whose conclusions on the subject excited much attention. This justly celebrated naturalist first published his views in 1801. He much enlarged them in 1809 in his Philosophie zoologique, and subsequently